We have finished the book of Revelation, and we've come right down to the end of chapter 22, and we've seen the description of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the coming down out of heaven, not only to rest over the millennial kingdom, but over the new heavens and the new earth. But today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 22, so if you open your Bibles there, we're going to be looking at these closing verses in 6 through 21. So this will be the conclusion to the book. And we're going to look at some of the words that were spoken by the angel that was speaking to John, some of the words of John himself, and of course the testimony of Jesus. We're going to open up in Revelation 22, 6, and it says, "He said to me, these words are faithful and true." And I take that to mean that these words have real meaning, that these are true things that John has just spoken of and has written about. Because it goes on to say, "And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place." John is, again, interacting with this angel, came to show him, and then he's going to show the bondservants through the letters that he has written and the letter of the book of Revelation that he's writing, the things which must shortly take place. Verses 8 through 11, if you follow on there. "And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things." And here's what the angel said to John. "And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren the prophet and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God." And when he talks about the prophets, he's generally referring to the Old Testament prophets, and John is kind of following in that mold, John being a Jewish apostle. He's carrying on the office of prophet, as you would find in the Old Testament. John, however, is in the New Testament era, but he's closing the book of the canon. The book of Revelation is the final revelation from God. And the angel says, "I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed or listen or pay attention to the words of this book." And of course that in Old Testament language means not only do they hear it, but they believe it and they act on it. So the angel says, in essence, if people don't want to listen, let them stay as they are. He says that in verse 11. Picking up verse 10, he says, "He said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." And the indication there is that Jesus Christ could come at any time and begin this process that's going to begin to take place in Revelation chapter 6 and go on through the end of the book until the time he returns, the time of Armageddon. It says he's near. It could happen at any time. This is a sense of imminency. There's nothing that needs to be done now other than for Jesus to return and begin this process. But he says in verse 11, there's kind of a warning here. "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy." And again, the angel saying, if people don't want to listen, let them stay as they are. And those who do listen are the righteous, set apart by God to act on his behalf. This is a warning in a sense saying that once these things occur, and they're going to occur, and when they do occur, they're going to be occurring very quickly, you won't get a chance to think about it. That if someone wants to simply go on and be as he is, let him do so. But the ones who are righteous will still practice righteousness. 22:7, we have the testimony of Jesus. "And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." And there's that idea that I'm coming quickly, that he's near, is imminently possible that he could come at any moment, and when he does begin his process of the second coming, it's going to be very quick. The Greek language here isn't indicating that he's telling John he's going to be there the next day. That's possible. He's near. The indication is not that it's going to be soon in the sense of time, but it's going to be quick in the sense that once these events unfold, they're going to unfold very rapidly. And Jesus himself says, "Blessed is he who heeds." That is, listens, pays attention to, and believes the words of the prophecy of this book. They will be the ones who will act upon them. Jesus picks up his testimony in 12, and he says again, "Behold, I am coming quickly." He repeats himself. But here he says, "My reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done." And of course, the focus here would be on the blessed ones up in verse 7, the ones who has heeded the prophecy, the words of the book. He's going to reward believers for what they have done, for the attention they have paid, for the activities they've been involved in. But at the end of the millennial kingdom, and we saw this, at the end of the millennial kingdom, there will be a great white throne judgment when the dead will stand for judgment. They will be resurrected and stand for what's called the second death. he will pay them or render to them according to what they have done. So there's an idea there that there's going to be different levels or gradations of punishment even in the lake of fire after that judgment. Verse 13, he makes a statement about himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. There's no one before me. There's no one after me. This is an expression of Jesus' eternality within the Godhead. Now he himself gives a blessing and a warning. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. They are inheritors of the tree of life, the benefits that go with the tree of life. Tree of life which offers eternal life. And they may enter into the gate, enter by the gates into the city. And of course, that's the city that is described so well in 21:9 through 22:5, the heavenly city which has come down out of heaven, where the saints dwell. And the first saints to dwell there are the resurrected church-age saints, the bride of Jesus Christ. We will actually be dwelling in this place for the 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We'll actually be dwelling there during the tribulation period while the tribulation is going on earth. That's the point at which we will be introduced to this heavenly city and this heavenly home that will be ours for eternity. Blessed are those who wash their robes. We've washed our robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. We believed in him. And we have inherited a right to eternal life, and it's been given to us by God himself. And we have access into the city to go in and out. And it says in verse 15, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices lying. And I take it that 14 and 15 are really describing events as they occur now and as they occur before the great white throne judgment. These people, it doesn't seem to me, are being described as those people who are in the lake of fire. It seems to be saying they're not in the lake of fire. They seem to be those that are outside the city. They have no access. They have no right to the tree of life because they are not believers. They have not washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And it seems to be just a general description of the two divisions of humanity. Those who have a right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city, once the city does come down, and those who are outside. Those who are described as immoral, as idolaters, and liars. In my life, before I came to know Jesus Christ, I was in that camp. I was part of that mass of humanity. It's only by the grace of God and anyone's listening, and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that you have an access and a right to the tree of life. If you haven't believed in him, you are in fact outside. And you not only do not get a chance to enter into the city, you do not even want to enter the city. Not only you're unable, you're unwilling. And we come to the final statement of Jesus' testimony. He now calls himself by name, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. How he has sent his angel to tell John about the things he's going to write about, the letters to the churches, and this great writing of the book of Revelation. When he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, he's expressing his human roots. He's a son of David, and he's also the bright morning star. The stars of the sky, the stars of creation, he was the one who was there to create the morning star as well as all the other stars in all of creation. So that kind of ends that section when Jesus is speaking, 12 through 16. And again, going back to verses 14 and 15, those who wash their robes versus those who are outside, the access to the city and the tree of life is essentially saying your character is revealed by what you love. Now we come to the final section, 22:17 through 21. This is actually the testimony of the church. And as we read through these, you can see this in 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let the one who hears say, Come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone who adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. So in this section, we have the testimony of the church, which is expressed by the Spirit, who works in the hearts of men to convict them of sin, and the bride, that's the church. The church is the dwelling place. Each individual believer is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So the church as a body is representing Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, both working together saying, Come. And let the one who hears and believes then say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty and feels that need of thirst and that need of having satisfaction for something that that is missing, let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes, who desires to, take the water of life without cost. And the water of life, again, going back to that water of life, that river which flows out of the middle of the new city, the tree of life surrounds it. The tree of life, the water of life, these are things that express that fulfillment of that need. There's also those who wash their robes. All these are expressions of coming to Jesus Christ, humbling yourself before Him and believing in Him. And once you take the water of life without cost, you have then eternal life, which can never be lost. And then there's the warning in 18 and 19. John himself says, I testify that everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. As an apostle and a prophet, if he says, I've written this down, and if anyone adds to what I've written, God will add to him the plagues. Verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city. But this is not talking about a loss of salvation for anyone who's saved. Yet I take it this is a warning for everyone. This is a warning to the saved and the unsaved, to those who are believers in Jesus Christ and those who say they are but really aren't, people I call the apostates. They hold to a form of Christianity but really deny the truths of Christianity, deny the person and work of Christ. But I think this is a warning to everyone. I think verse 19 is not a loss of salvation for the believer, but it is truly a loss of reward. And there's possibly a loss of access to certain blessings in the holy city. But I think it's very clear that it is a warning. Do not add to this book. Do not take away from this book. Throughout church history, that's been the problem with the Bible. Men have added their own writings to it. Churches have added their traditions to it and imposed greater laws upon men than the Bible speaks about, more burdens. Many churches have taken away the message of grace, and salvation has become a system of works rather than grace. There are those who take away, who denigrate, take away the meaning of the words of the book, say that these things aren't real, they aren't really true. These are things which are actually going to take place. I think Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, really kind of give an underlying meaning for the believer, at least for those who are wise. It says, every word of God, which is a promise, is tested. Every promise of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. You can test the word of God. You can test His promises and see that they're firm. And when you stand on the promises of God, you're on firm ground. Not only are you on firm ground, but you are covered. God is a shield to you. He's a castle. He's a place where you can run to take refuge and be protected. But the warning here is, do not add to His words or He will reprove you and you will be proved a liar. To be reproved would be to lose blessing, to lose some honor, to lose some position. And I think that could tie into what's being said here. Take away your part from the tree of life. Not take away complete loss of access to the tree of life, but take away a part from the tree of life. Well, then he goes on and Jesus speaks again. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. So that's the third time that's said. And then John closes, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think you can see here as you bring all of this final conclusion together that it's Jesus Christ himself calling men to salvation. It is John. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the church. It's the encouragement to say if you've washed your clothes in the blood of the Lamb, you will have access to the tree of life. You will have eternal life in the eternal city, that city which is described in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, when I come, I'm coming quickly, and there's no way to tell when I'm coming. I'm near, and I could come at any moment. And that's true for us. The church is going to be raptured. It's going to be taken suddenly in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be taken to glory as the bride of Christ, and we'll live in that heavenly city that He promised for us. Not only for the tribulation period, but on through the millennium and then on into the eternal state. And that's the great glory of the book of Revelation. So that's where we will end. Next time, we're going to look at the judgments, not only for the church at the place called the Bema Seat, but the judgments that come after the tribulation, and then the judgments that come after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word.